Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at YouTube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscription button and the notify bell next to it to make sure you never miss out on new Going In Raw content. We're also available at the Patreon at Patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 78 people watching right now. This is a post-TLC Raw recap, therefore... Yes. All the $1 patrons are here, or the ones who are available right now for the live stream when we're paying attention to our Twitter feed or the Patreon wall. We have lots of rewards over there on the Patreon. If you want to support Going In Raw, be sure to stop by patreon.com/Steven Larson.
Yes.
We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/Steve. I'm sorry, /Going In Raw, where we have a ton of designs.
Hold on.
What?
Do you have a secret store I'm not aware of?
Yes.
Doesn't matter to me. I'm just curious.
Now you are aware of it. There is actually... No, I've got my own store. I don't have any Steven Larson stores. I'm not selling knockoff Larson merch.
Oh, you better not be.
Oh. What if it's at Denio's? What if it's at the swap meet?
Lawsuit.
Really?
Cease and desist.
I've only sold like 3 shirts.
Can't use my likeness without my permission. Oh, I'm signing a contract.
How much are you suing me per infraction?
$1 million.
Fair enough. I actually have the Interdimension Tension Going In Raw variant shirt.
Oh, cool.
Logo ready to go. It has not been uploaded yet.
I want
to
see.
But it's very exciting. Oh, yeah. This isn't a secret store, but I have my own. Etsy.shop. What is it? Etsy.com/shop/MFSteve here.
It's not my store.
I made a comic book back in 2006. You can buy it. I'll sign it for you. I'll do a little doodle for you. Thanks for mentioning my secret shop, Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So anyways, that's it. We're good. We're gonna talk about Raw.
Oh, we're done.
Yeah, we're finished. Oh, wait a second. No, I gotta do this real quick. I do have to. I have to shout this out. Two things. Programming notes. We have the results are in. Armageddon 2006 is what we're gonna be reviewing on Going In Raw View this Sunday. So if you want to check, it's a horribly ridiculous pay per view.
It's
really
I've only gotten a couple matches in.
It's so, well, you know, first when a man gets lit on fire.
Yeah, I know.
It's not good. So check that out. And then we're also, there was one more thing I was going to add. I'm going to look up the patrons here.
Okay.
Because I haven't done that since last week. So anyways, at the $1 Patreon tier, people get their name shouted out here on the show. So I'm going to do that now.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Where did I leave off last week? I'll start here.
You did it on Thursday last week.
Ben Kirkwood, Husky Jose. Oh, I think I remember this one. Michael Geese or mm-hmm. Geist.
Yeah, you did that one before.
Jeffrey Nguyen, Israel Pacheco, Sarah Smull, Richard Nixon, Michael Lawson, Pretzel Mister, Daniel, Luis Pasomsuk. I'm so sorry, Luis. JMC, Kevin Reese, Richard Dobby, Richard Breslin, Robert Fleetham, Corey Cumberland, That was my segment, Steve butchering names. Anyways,
well done.
Yeah, let's talk about Raw. What a fun show! What an insane
fun.
Way to end a show.
Yeah, wow, pretty crazy.
In the words of Ron Burgundy, that escalated quickly.
Remember last year when they started the Survivor Series program?
Yeah.
Was it that violent?
No.
Didn't think so.
No. It was an in-ring confrontation. I believe back then, Team SmackDown showed up on Raw, I think, or maybe it was vice versa. I know they showed up on each other's show.
Yeah,
I'm
happen.
Assuming that's going to happen.
That's going to happen here, too.
Tonight. But
well, I don't think it'll be tonight. It might be a week or two.
They got to gather the
well,
appropriate
they still
troops.
They still have a month for a pay-per-view. They want to, like, go full bore right at the beginning.
Oh, I don't know, man. I think that it demands swift decisions.
Well, you saw
action.
What Samoa Joe tweeted today, did you?
Oh, what did he tweet?
A cat sharpening its nails.
What is the metaphor there?
Didn't you suggest on Twitter that if Raw wants to fight back, just send Samoa Joe to SmackDown?
I did.
That would be great.
Right?
Literally just Samoa
just
Joe.
And people were saying, what about Brent? No. Just
Samoa Joe.
Number one, he is going to be the fifth announced man, and it's going to be announced in dramatic fashion for Team Raw.
Yeah.
That's going to be the case. That's going to be, and it's going to be awesome. I'm saying, yeah, all you got to do is send Joe over there. He'll mess up all those fools on SmackDown Live, man. It was a really, really fun way. We're going to talk about the ludicrous nature of the fact that all these people are in storylines against each other, and they all come together as
a unit.
It's
the one time of year you got to set all that aside, man.
It's great. I don't care.
And also, we're going to speculate. We should speculate right now. We're kind of do a power ranking of who is going to make up Team Raw and Team SmackDown.
Okay, well, let's do that. Yeah, I guess we can start it now, because at the beginning of the show, Kurt Angle came down, and he announced that Survivor Series officially was going to be brand versus brand.
Yes.
He announced a bevy of matches.
Well, all the champions are fighting the respective champions of the other show. So we have Natalya versus Alexa Bliss. They're all non-title matches. It's all for bragging rights. The Miz versus Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
The Shield versus the Usos, and Brock Lesnar versus, according to my notes, Lesnar.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, well done.
That leaves
Brock versus Lesnar. That's good.
Hey, I've been sick for 2 weeks.
No, it was great. It's awesome. I love that you kept it, too.
I didn't even notice it until you posted it on Patreon.
Comments,
and
yeah, I know.
I kept it. Why not?
You never know what you're going to get in the notes on Patreon.
He said there will be two 5-on-5 brand versus brand elimination matches, one for the men, one for the women. On Raw last night, we saw four of the five Raw women and Alicia Fox, who is the captain of the team.
Did you see the tweet she sent out? And then I responded, I just said, well, we love Alicia Fox.
No.
You know the, what was that Tom Hanks boat movie that was
Captain
based on
Phillips.
Yeah. And there's the gif of the main bad guy that was taken over, and when he's like, I'm the captain now.
She tweeted that gif out.
Oh, that freaking killed me. That's freaking funny, dude. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
So, Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Mickie James. Those are the four of the five. Do we think Asuka is going to be the fifth?
Yes, of course. He has to be. Are you kidding me? He has to be.
Yeah, I think so. For SmackDown, it's Becky Lynch, Tamina, Carmella, Charlotte, and...
Charlotte wasn't there last night.
No, she wasn't, but she's going to be on that team.
Yeah.
And then, they just kind of did 3-on-4 last night.
It was
Becky Lynch. Natalya was there,
but she's fighting Alexa Bliss.
But it was Becky, Tamina, and Carmella.
Okay.
They were there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no Charlotte.
Was Charlotte announced or no? They haven't announced.
No, they haven't announced any of them.
Okay. All right.
I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
So we know four of the five on Raw, three of the five on SmackDown. I assume Charlotte will be the fourth. Yeah, I know that. I know that scene. Yeah.
That's
pretty good.
That's so good.
So we got to assume Charlotte will be the fourth. Asuka will be the fifth on Raw. But who will be the fifth on SmackDown?
Who are the options? Naomi's an option?
Oh, Naomi will should be.
She should be. She should be. No reason to.
But looking at
Paige. Could be Paige.
That'd be cool. But looking at the lineup, just based on these champion versus champion matches, do you see Natalya going over Alexa Bliss? Because I don't. Do you see The Miz?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Well, okay. I know what you're thinking. They want to protect Alexa Bliss. I get that.
Like, the Shield's not losing to the Usos.
That's a certainty.
And Brock is most definitely winning.
Okay. What's Jinder been really good at over the past, over since the championship run?
Winning with interference.
Sneaking away wins.
It's not going to happen, man.
Sneaking away wins.
Especially the way they're booking Brock into WrestleMania. It's not going to happen. He's going to suplex both the Singh brothers at the same time.
Some sneaky win. Because what did you say before, well, during our Patreon exclusive pre-show?
I don't remember.
Not canon.
Yeah.
This is not canon. This, I'll put it this way. Jinder could sneak a win against Brock, knowing full well he's not going to get a rematch. Brock's not going to be getting a rematch. So it doesn't matter. This match does not count towards Brock's road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, it does.
And here's the thing. Who's a stronger opponent? Who's the overwhelming favorite here?
Oh, it's Brock Lesnar.
It's Brock Lesnar. So you accomplish nothing, absolutely nothing, by having him go over Jinder Mahal. You accomplish nothing. Now, on the other hand...
Well, hold on. No, there's... Brock might not accomplish anything, but based on the nature of his win, it can go far for Jinder or completely bury him in that title. So if Jinder... I think Jinder just needs a solid performance where it seems like
but
he has a chance to win.
But that's not who he is! It's not
he was,
who he is!
He was kind of at the last SmackDown pay-per-view. The Singh brothers were kicked out of ringside, and yeah, it served as a bit of a distraction. But in the end, Jinder hit the Colossus on Nakamura and won it himself.
I know, but you know that's not... They don't book him as the guy who's going to have a strong showing against Brock Lesnar.
By strong showing, I mean not squash in 3 minutes.
I don't think that's a strong showing, though. I think if he loses in a straight-up way, I don't know, man. Look, I know I could be talking on my
because
ass
that's
right
the thing
here.
Is nobody expects him to come close to competing.
Yeah.
So if he competes...
Expectations are so low.
Yes. And Heyman's promo last night only fed into that.
Until we get further down the line. Man, you know what? Yeah, a strong loss could go a long way.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I know we said that. I'm just
and
saying...
And there's rumors there's going to be a guest ref.
Let me ask you something. What's more in Jinder's character? A sneaky win or a strong showing against a stronger opponent?
Oh, so far it's been a sneaky win. But he's never faced Brock Lesnar before.
I don't know. But he's faced a guy that we thought could take Brock Lesnar, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Well, we think.
He's faced Randy Orton, who Vince McMahon, well, evidently not, because
anyway,
Brock faced
getting back to my point
him.
Here about these champion versus champion matches, Miz versus Corbin might be kind of a toss-up.
Mm-hmm.
Shield's not losing to the Usos. Lesnar is going to beat Mahal.
Okay, well, that's on the table. Who did Brock beat last year at Survivor Series?
Nobody.
Goldberg.
No, Goldberg beat.
I know.
Brock.
Exactly.
That was a special circumstance, though.
Special circumstances cannot come in any number of packets.
They're not going to do it again.
Dressing.
Not going to do it again. So here, let's speculate while we're at it. Team Raw, Team SmackDown. I know we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves.
So are we? Is Braun Kane happening at Survivor Series? Is that going to take Braun out of the Raw picture?
Could.
Because okay, here's the thing. Let's just level this. Kurt Angle is totally right. Raw's talent is far and away greater than SmackDown.
But I think if you take... Well, especially when you take all the champions out.
Yeah.
It's kind of an even playing field. Because you take
well, let's
Braun
look. In. No, we're doing this. Let's look.
So I think the certainty for one, two absolute certainties for Raw right now are Finn and Joe.
For Raw, Finn, Joe.
And I think the two certainties for SmackDown are AJ and Shinsuke.
Okay. AJ, Shinsuke, Bobby Roode.
I don't even know if he'd be a certain.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Because who was
Kurt Angle mentioned?
Who was leading the charge
after?
Okay, who was leading the charge last night during the siege? The New Day. They have to be involved somehow. I'm not suggesting
all three of them, right?
But they have to be involved. Rusev was front and center too. I would say he's more likely to be involved than Bobby Roode.
Rusev, Big E.
Yeah, so that's four from SmackDown. Corbin's out of the equation.
Yeah. Dolph is not going to be Dolph.
No, it'd be Bobby before Dolph.
Yeah. Randy?
Maybe.
I mean, Randy has to be there, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Rusev has to be involved.
I'm not saying he has to be there, but he was so involved
last
night.
Randy is likely. Who are we missing out?
Ty Dillinger.
No. I'm looking at chat to see if anybody else has.
And I think we got to leave a spot open on Team Raw for Roman Reigns if he's cleared in time.
Roman is going to be, yeah, he'll be cleared by then.
But then you have the bar on
Raw. Do you think Bray Wyatt's going to get involved?
Could.
It's a possibility.
Possibility.
But that was always so weird because he was involved last year, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why do you care about Brand? You're like the least.
I know, he shows up with a SmackDown shirt.
Right.
Why do you care about that?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you take the Shield, if you take all the champs and Braun away from Raw, SmackDown has a better team. They do.
Finn, wait a second, dude. You're saying...
Because you have Finn and Joe, I guess maybe Roman, but...
Finn, Joe, Roman, okay, Bray is not.
Bray, maybe not.
Maybe not Bray. But,
you have AJ, Nakamura, and Randy. They match up just fine against Finn, Joe, and Roman.
Finn, Joe, and Roman together? You know, this is the thing. Okay, here's the thing, though. You're right. Only because Kane hopped in the mix and took away Braun.
Yeah.
If Braun was
Braun
here,
involved, I know. That's ridiculous. Braun would have the upper hand. Yeah. Easily. Yes, Braun is comparable to two members of any team.
But still, dude, give me Finn, Joe, Roman. Finn, Joe, Roman only because you have Roman on the team?
Yeah.
Roman's...
Yeah. I wonder if Roman's cleared in the next 2 weeks, if they'll call an audible and have the New Day win the tag titles with the Usos and do New Day versus the full Shield. I wonder if that was maybe the original plans. I don't know.
Boy, that'd be something else, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Because it'd be weird to have... I understand the idea of champs versus champs.
Yeah.
But to have Dean and Seth in one match, Roman in another match, when we never got the Shield reunion.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And there's a possibility that Kurt and Shane might be involved in the elimination match, too.
So somebody in a Patreon chat brought this up. According to Sami Zayn's Twitter, he didn't get involved in the beatdown because he doesn't want to do the bidding of a fascist or something like that.
Oh, a tyrant.
Tyrant. But that does leave the Kevin Owens question.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem like a team player.
No, so far there's no timetable.
But I don't know.
I am aware for his return.
Wait, who?
Kevin Owens. Because he's on leave right now.
Oh, yeah. He's on leave. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wonder. Boy, hope that's not that serious.
Yeah, no.
I didn't even think about that. Wow.
But yeah, I agree. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are kind of, at this juncture, wild cards.
That's also kind of the thing. You would think that Roman is a huge wild card. Kevin Owens is a pretty big wild card. You would think that they would have pushed the actual confirmed match announcements. Because what you're saying about the Shield versus the New Day, that to me sounds like it might be a bit more about protecting the New Day. Because you can't... That's a no-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have Roman's Shield job to the New Day, and you can't really job the New Day if you want them to be the best ever.
Yeah. No, I know.
So that might be more about protecting the New Day. But it is kind of interesting that they didn't push... the actual confirmed matches for another week or two just to see if you can get a better idea. If that's the case, if the fact that they didn't push it longer makes me think maybe this is what they were planning on all along.
It could be.
And Roman's going to be in the 5-on-5. I mean, you take Roman out of the equation, then all you have really is Joe. I mean, Finn's strong, but Finn just got beat by Kane last night.
Yeah. That's
so
weird.
All you really have is Joe.
Well, then also there's rumors that there would be a guest ref for the Brock Mahal match. John Cena is kind of a leading name, but apparently I was reading on somewhere else. I think it was from Wrestling Observer that's not decided.
Yeah,
they're still thinking or coming up with other ideas for that.
Right, right.
It'd be interesting if they had Roman as the guest ref for that match.
Yeah,
he hasn't been fully medically cleared.
Yeah,
to wrestle, but he can. You know, be around the locker room. It's not contagious.
Right.
So that could be interesting if they really want to start pushing Roman and Brock right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
In any event, he announced all this stuff, and that led to The Miz coming down and saying, running down Kurt, talking crap about the night before. He says, you shouldn't have got involved last night. Dean was spouting his mouth off, so you should have had to be 2-on-5. And they surrounded the ring. That led to two-thirds of the Shield coming out. Seth and Dean, they came down their Shield entrance with Roman's music and got in there to defend Kurt. And then Kurt said, how about this, Miz? You and T-Bar are going to have a match. It was Miz and the T-Bar came out. Against the Shield plus their new third member, essentially.
Yeah.
This guy who decided to stick around another day. AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a big, fat sleeper agent.
Kind of, yeah.
Just hanging out. until he could swerve them.
I thought it'd been interesting, and I thought he was going to do it when Kane came out after the match, that he would just kind of look at the Shield and be like, I'm good.
I've got a family to worry about.
This is your business, not mine. Your I'm going show, back to the blue brand.
My house that I built.
Yep.
The SmackDown.
Nonetheless, they gave this match a ton of time.
Yeah, this was a hell of a match.
Fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun match. This
ton
was
of
great.
Fun. Styles picked up the win on Cesaro after a phenomenal forearm.
Mm-hmm.
This is a super fun match.
Yeah, that was great. It was kind of a fan service match. They did like the stereo diving over the rope thing.
Or the suicide dive thing,
yeah.
Oh, and the slingshot.
The slingshot, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a great moment where I like this when Seth and Dean were going to do stereo suicide dives, and Cesaro tried to interrupt it.
Twice,
yeah. They went one way to go off the ropes, and he tried. Then they came the other way, and they both ducked him.
Yeah.
And still landed.
Right after that Styles hit the forum.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Like, Cesaro was over there. Yeah, exactly.
Real fun finishing sequence.
Yeah, it was neat.
After the match, Kane comes out. He clears the ring. The Bar and The Miz join in. Eventually, Rollins eats a choke slam. Ambrose is tossed to the outside. Get a commercial break, come back, and Kane's still in the ring. Drops a promo.
Do they have to listen to that music the entire
Probably
time?
Probably. Yeah. Called Braun a pile of trash.
Yeah. He was basically upset that they call him a monster among men, and Kane is a monster, and he wants to be top prime monster. So that's going to be a thing now. That led to Finn Balor coming out to challenge Demon, well, the man who made Demon. No, this wasn't Grey Balor. This is just Man Demon.
Man Balor.
To challenge Kane.
Kane. Because Kane said, just like Braun used to say, I want some real competition.
Right. And so they trot out little Finn Balor, who got beat by Kane. A lot of people were very upset about that.
Well, it's
that,
quite surprising. I mean, obviously they have designs to build up Kane for something, whether it's just for Braun to beat or...
I'm thinking it's for Braun.
I didn't know if it was just that or due to Kane's political aspirations, whether he was considering hanging him up. So they thought, let's give him one last run.
Oh, no. I think this is for Braun and then figure it out from there.
If that's the case, though, then I can think of maybe half a dozen other people they could have had Kane beat other than Finn.
You know, people made the same case. Okay, name them. Do not say Carl Anderson.
No.
Okay, well, who then?
Just try to, there's like other mid-carders that are haven't beat The Miz.
Miz has been, he takes losses all the time.
Finn doesn't.
Yeah, Finn's a former Universal Champion.
Actually, it's not true. Finn has taken quite a few losses.
Finn takes, like, since when?
He's lost to Bray. He lost to...
When did he lose? Like, a long time ago?
Didn't he lose a match, granted, with interference to the Drifter?
Oh, that doesn't count.
But he's lost a couple times.
Yeah, but never clean.
Lost clean to Bray. It was just
this was months ago, and he got.
I don't have a huge
him.
Problem with it. I don't have like enormous problem with it. I don't know. It doesn't.
Because other people were bringing that up on Twitter too, and I was like, no, this is perfect.
This guy doesn't really like, do it. Here's
Finn can eat a loss, and he's just fine.
Here's the one upside to it. I see if they want to develop a story around it is if Finn is going to face Lesnar.
Yeah.
And already he's having trouble with larger competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the storyline. Cool.
They jobbed Finn out to Braun on the house show circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fine with it in that respect in terms of telling a story.
I would doubt they would ever bring that up simply because it's something that makes him look too weak. I would love that because I think it makes sense. You know, it's like, hey, you keep on losing to these monsters.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll ever connect those dots. But because I would think that Finn would probably have to get through Braun first. I mean, if you look at that math... He loses to Braun on the house show circuit, and it's not canon.
Yeah.
He loses to Kane here on Raw, which a lot of people were talking about, so it's got some buzz behind it.
Kane,
it's memorable.
Matt Hardy.
No, it's terrible. What a terrible answer. I mean, he's so old and, like,
he's
he
beloved.
Needed somebody that had, a really big power ranking, and Finn's that guy. There's nobody else, really. They don't have much of a mid-card.
Cesaro.
It's like low card, and Sheamus. Then... Mid, upper mid.
Enzo Amore.
None of those are good names. Enzo Amore, yeah. Drew Gulak.
Adam Cole.
How about that?
That's good. No, I understand your point. I say I don't necessarily disagree with it. Just
yeah. You said a half a dozen. You're learning that there is not a half
but
a dozen.
Finn just gets a huge win. And granted, you can look at it from two different perspectives. Finn gets a huge win on the pay-per-view and then gets beat by, you know, someone who's on obviously the downside of their career. And it's like... All right, there's a pretty major high for Finn, and then instantly got bracked in. But I can see both sides of the argument. That's all I'm saying.
It's not like he's jobbing to, I don't know, name somebody else who is on the downside of there. They didn't trot Jeff Jarrett out there. He's not jobbing to a, you know, the storyline. Kane is from hell, and I know he's a dude who is corporate Kane, and he's been through a bunch of stuff.
Well,
I
don't think it's necessarily all that therapy. I think for the last couple years when he has been on TV, it hasn't been the Kane of old. And if they want to bring back the Kane of old to
for
serve
10 years, it's been that way.
Larger purpose,
yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, the larger purpose is him and Braun getting into a big fight.
I know, that seems short-term, though. It seems like a short-term thing.
Yeah, well, it's the next thing for Braun. It's the next big bastard fight for Braun.
I understand that.
This isn't about Kane. This is, hey, Kane's a monster again. Now Braun is going to beat him. We need to show how badass Kane is. Let's have him fight a guy who's under 6 feet tall.
Yes, I understand all that. Yeah, I know. I mean, they can't bring the Big Show out. He's hurt.
Everybody has their power rankings. And Kane,
I know. Gallows, that's who we should have fought.
Somebody on Twitter said, what about Carl Anderson? What about Carl? I could, like, in storyline, I could beat Carl Anderson.
What about Goldust?
You're R-Truth. Hey, let's trot R-Truth out there, why don't we? That'll make Kane look huge. Rhino, let's bring him out there. Oh, how about one half of the guys that are always injured?
Scott. Oh, the Revival?
The Revival. How about Titus Worldwide? Let's bring Akira Tozawa out there. Anyways. But he gets all, children, burying Finn Balor.
No, they're not burying him, but...
They're burying Finn Balor.
I see both sides of the... I see both perspectives.
No, dude, look, it's not that I don't understand it. It's just everybody needs to relax a second.
Oh, yeah, that's usually the case when it comes to people being buried.
Mind of our social media accounts.
Here, put them back up. Put them back up.
Okay, here you go.
That's mine.
That's Larson's right there.
That's Steve's.
This is both mine.
All right, so Kane wins. It did take 3 choke slams to beat Finn Balor. At least.
Well, it didn't take 3 choke slams. He choke slammed.
He might have kicked out of 2, but the third one.
I like to think that he would have kicked out of the first one.
Yeah.
But his eyes were closed after the first one, so I was like, oh, man. But then he did 2 more.
That just means he wasn't going to look at the ref when the ref counted the pinfall.
Because he's a professional.
Yes. I was hoping it would be 3 choke slams and a tombstone, so it was like Kane really put it to him.
Yeah, I know.
But 3 choke slams seems like it would hurt enough. Yeah. Next, Kurt Angle's backstage. In walks Shane McMahon. They seem very friendly.
Oh, I love this segment.
Yeah.
Until the end, and I was like, man, that segment really bums me out now, because Shane just, ooh, man, Shane is evil.
He was pretty mean, because Kurt Angle was coming at it from like, okay, it's like a friendly, competitive type deal, like exhibitions, likely or not, can it?
Yeah.
We'll just do this. It'll be fun. Some fan service. What?
Are we going to see any chance we're going to see Kurt versus Shane?
I mentioned maybe they'll be part of the team.
Shane said, bring your gold medals.
Yeah, whatever's left of the Raw roster.
I think it'd be great if they did a singles match.
It'd be cool.
That'd be fantastic. They probably won't do that, though. I could see them doing the Raw, being part of the 5-man team.
Yeah.
I could see that. Kurt and Joe on the same team?
That'd be great.
Has Kurt and Joe...
I'm sure they wrestled in TNA.
Oh, I know they did. Have they had much interaction since Kurt's been general manager? They've had some, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think remember. So.
Anyways, somebody laid a funny joke on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
When there's a gif of Shane coming down with the SmackDown team, and they have Sierra, Hotel, Alpha, November, Echo. People are funny. I like funny people. So anyways, yeah, Kurt and Shane were talking, and Shane, you know, they're doing sort of the passive aggressive, oh, your guys are going to lose, and oh, your guys are going to lose. And then, yeah, Shane gets kind of serious and says, did he say hashtag under siege?
Maybe.
I hate when people say
he definitely
say
said
hashtag.
Under siege. He just watched the Steven Seagal movie and came with that idea.
Yeah, now it's going to be the tagline for Survivor Series.
The whole thing, yeah. Shane got a little menacing at the end there. Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Next, we had Asuka versus Emma in a TLC rematch. Another decent match.
Yeah, when... 4 or 5 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought that this would be more of a squash. I figured this would be like once Asuka figures you out the first time, you're going to be squashed the second time.
Yeah.
So I could use a squash here, but whatever.
Asuka reversed a roll-up attempt by Emma into the Asuka lock.
Mm-hmm.
Emma tapped out.
Yeah.
It was cool. Asuka's really quick.
Yes, she is.
She's super quick.
Yeah. And she's awesome.
She is awesome. Next, Alexa Bliss with an extended promo that was actually pretty good.
I like this. I'm glad you liked it, too. Yeah. I like this.
I thought it got off to a bit of a rocky start. Like, when she first came out, she seemed a little unsure.
Mm-hmm.
But then once she got into rhythm, it was fine.
This was more a promo befitting a champion.
Yeah.
I liked it. Because she was getting kind of meta, calling out the fans for saying, I'm going to say something, and you're going to chant along.
Yeah.
Because that's generally what happens. To the crowd's credit... They didn't do that.
No.
She started chanting, "You deserve this," or "You deserve it," and they just kind of booed and milled about. And I think a lot of them wanted to chant, but they realized, man, we really need to not chant here.
There was somebody in the crowd that, between pretty much every one of Alexa's lines, mm-hmm. would stand up and do double thumbs. She was not a fan of Alexa
ooh,
Bliss.
Ooh.
So at the conclusion, or actually interrupting Alexa's promo, out comes Mickey James,
mm-hmm.
Who Alexa said was a thing of the past.
Yeah.
And didn't say a word, just dropped her with a DDT.
Yeah, it was rad.
And then just walked out of the ring.
Well, no, she goes, "You do deserve
that's
it."
That's right.
And then I think at that point the crowd started chanting, "You deserve it."
Yeah, that was good.
Good for them. Way to be smart, crowd. Next up, we had Kurt Angle backstage with the ladies of Raw.
Well, Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Alicia Fox, and at that point, it decided there'd be a triple threat match.
Yes, later on, who is captain? And as we all found out later, I'm captain. I am captain now. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, Elias. Oh, I liked at the end of this Kurt Angle segment with Alicia Fox when he said, "Alicia, remember, you have to go for a pin in the middle of the ring or in the ring instead." What? You're crazy, Kurt.
I know, referencing the pin attempt she made on the outside of the ring at TLC.
Yeah, that was great.
Elias comes out, starts talking about Jason Jordan, and especially his antics at TLC, saying that he brought out Jason Jordan, that is, a grocery list of disrespect and immaturity.
I'm so glad you wrote this down because I knew there
laugh.
Was a line.
It made me laugh.
I knew there was a line, and that was it. Grocery list of disrespect and immaturity.
That's so
dude,
good.
Elias, he's the best, dude. I'm telling you.
He's one of the rare examples of someone who made the jump from NXT to Maine that actually improved drastically in the character.
I know.
Development has grown exponentially. There's so many
who
more layers.
Who would ever thought?
I know.
He is so tickled by himself. Oh, it's great. He has so much fun up there. Anyways, that led to a match. So he tried to sing a song. Jason Jordan
there
evidently.
Technical difficulties. He was in the back with his mic cable plugging it in and out of the mixer.
It was Jason Jordan. I like that he threatened to drag the production guy out to the middle of the ring and beat him up.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat the holy hell out of you.
I know.
Anyways, it's just Jason Jordan, the greengrocer. He comes out. They have a match. Another decent match. Elias Sampson. Oh, my God. That guitar shot. That was like a baseball hit right there.
Yeah. He must have got the corner of the guitar on the shoulder.
Dude, he loaded up. That guitar just got destroyed over
there. Well, he saw the welt that was already developing on his shoulder, and the picture on Twitter was huge.
Oh, I didn't see that. Large. Oh, my God, yeah.
The welt on his triceps.
Dude, he swung for the fences on that one.
That was not a gimmicked guitar.
That was nuts.
So the spot was Jason Jordan and Elias were fighting on the outside. Jason Jordan was driving Elias into the barricade 3 or 4 times. And then Elias over that timekeeper's area. Jason Jordan runs to the opposite side. Runs towards him again, gets ahead of steam, and Elias just destroys the guitar over his shoulder and back and tricep.
I kind of miss the days because of Elias. I miss the days when the IC or US title meant a lot less because this is a perfect feud for a belt that means a lot less than that title does now.
Yeah.
This would be something that would be perfect for like the television title.
Yes.
And something tells me Elias is going to come out of this feud on top.
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling he does such good work, and I think they're just really hesitant to pull the trigger on Jason Jordan until something else clicks with him. You know what I mean?
He just needs a character. The wrestling's there. He just needs a character. I think that's all it is.
Sometimes you need some sort of very specific, I'm not going to say elaborate, but a very specific storyline to figure that out, you know, and it could be something small. It could be something. I mean, remember John Cena? For him, it was the Halloween party when he came as Vanilla Ice and he started rapping, and then people were like, "Oh, he can do that. Cool, let's do that more."
Yeah.
I mean, it could be any number of things, but he's got all the ingredients.
Yeah,
you just need to figure it out.
Yep. Next, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar came out to accept officially Jinder Mahal's challenge.
Jinder Mahal.
And in many respects, it was pretty basic. Typical Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
But he went to great lengths to say he doesn't trash talk Brock's opponents because as his opponents, they must be worthy.
Yeah.
But he didn't think Jinder Mahal was worthy in the least.
No, man. That doesn't make you think that this is a swerve for some sort of Jinder win. Is the crowd?
I think it's a swerve for a strong gender showing.
The crowd's going to be so behind gender.
Oh, I know. The whole point of this is to make gender the sympathetic one. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Man.
But Brock's not losing that match. He's not losing anything until WrestleMania. It's not.
Oh, man. We said the same thing about Goldberg.
Well, we didn't know that Goldberg could sign on for more matches. If we had known that, it might have changed our minds.
There's a lot of things we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know everything about this gender thing and how they wanted to play out.
I feel pretty sure that we don't know Brock's going to win this one.
Man, I don't know. I got a month to figure this out, man. I'll watch the rest of these episodes
yes.
of Raw.
Pay close attention.
Now and then. I'm pay very close
attention.
Well,
SmackDown, too, because Paul Heyman and or Brock Lesnar might show up at some point. You never know.
Well, I need to watch all this stuff anyways because it's our job.
Yeah.
And I like the point that Paul Heyman made, too. What did he say? Whichever brand brags Brock Lesnar, is that what he
whatever
said?
Brand brags Brock
yeah.
is the better brand.
Yeah. Kind of a awkward alliteration.
Tongue twister.
Tongue twister. Anyways, yeah, it was what it was. He ran down gender. Next up, we had... Yeah, this is going to be really interesting to see how gender responds to basically being called out as a clown.
Buried, essentially.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman buried him.
Yeah. Boy. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, just...
Callisto interview. Oh, that's Steve leaves. Steve doesn't show up for... I'm not going to watch this
Callisto
interview.
He said he has a rematch for the Cruiserweight title on 205
I'm
Live.
I'm going to invoke my rematch at 205... Your rematch clause? Your clause. You don't invoke a rematch. You invoke a clause.
Oh, and then he introduced his Survivor Series team.
And every single one of them I hate now. Why is Cedric Alexander off to the side doing lucha crap? I don't want to see that from Cedric Alexander. The guy's a stud.
He is.
You know what I mean? I don't want to see him happily. No, he should be like, no, you know what? You had your chance. Get out of here.
Especially once,
rematch
once
clause.
Kalisto loses on 205.
I know.
That should be it. He gets his rematch. He loses. Back of the line, right?
Cedric should be licking his chops right now, being like, I want you to lose because Enzo is easy pickings in the right situation.
Yep.
That's what he should be thinking.
With that in mind, if we fast forward a bit to the 10-man Cruiserweight match, which mm-hmm. saw Team Lucha
yeah.
against the Zotrain.
Oh, God.
There was some Enzo didn't want to get tagged in. He was trying to find any way to avoid actually having to wrestle in the match.
Yeah.
And I was hoping they would actually hype up some tension between the members of the Zotrain to lead to a stipulation for that match. So it's just not an elimination tag match. Whether the Cruiserweight title's on the line, if someone other than Enzo wins, or number one contender, something. There needs to be more stakes for that match.
Wait, which match are you talking about?
The Cruiserweight Survivor Series match.
Okay, yeah, well, you don't think it's going to be heels versus faces now, do you?
Well, that's what it is.
They've announced that already?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. These are the teams.
Did we talk about that at the beginning of the thing?
No.
They just announced it right here?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
That's what Kalisto's interview was all about. It's like, this is my...
Again.
This is my team for Survivor Series.
Oh, he said that?
Not in so many words.
When Kalisto talks, I don't listen. So I'm glad that you were taking notes.
Cedric Alexander, Rick Swann, Mustafa Ali, Grand Metalik, and Kalisto.
He said, that's my team for Survivor Series?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it going to be for the title?
Not that I'm aware of. Should be, though.
Yeah, that should be a fun one. They should have made it like a, I don't know, crazy cage match or something.
A ladder match. A ladder Survivor Series 5-on-5 elimination match.
That would have been great. That
would have been cool. Yeah. But before we get to that tag match, let's talk about Sasha Banks versus Bayley versus Alicia Fox.
Yeah, this is great, man. Alicia Fox picked up a win.
Yeah,
it was great.
She gave Bayley a Bayley to belly.
Mm-hmm.
And then threw Sasha Banks into her as she tried to get back in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then pinned Bayley.
Yeah.
Captain.
No, I am the captain.
No, Alicia Fox is the captain.
Look at me. I am the captain. Oh, man.
So for this,
didn't that guy get, like, nominated for an Oscar for that or something?
Yeah,
that's great, man. Good for him.
Next is Team Lucha versus the Zotrain. And since Enzo lost his voice, Drew Gulak had the honors of doing Enzo's little speech at the beginning of his match.
He's
awesome.
A treasure.
Really is.
He's a treasure. That was fantastic. That was so fun, man. That was so good. I loved it. He said, my name is Enzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud.
So
you cannot teach that.
Yes.
Oh, man.
It was so good.
Yeah, anyways. Oh, that was a good bit, too. when the Team Lucha super kicked Drew Gulak off
the apron. Yeah, all five members.
In
super
unison,
kick
big five-man stereo super kick.
Yeah, super kick party.
Mm-hmm.
The finish saw Kalisto pin Enzo after everybody else was knocked out of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Kalisto hit Salida del Sol on Enzo, picked up the win.
So therefore, he's going to lose tomorrow.
The math will hold.
Yeah. Yep. You can always tell when the math is going to hold.
The main event of the show, the closing segment, Kurt Angle came out, in theory, to announce the Raw Survivor Series men's team. Interrupted by Shane McMahon's music, and Shane McMahon came through the crowd a la The Shield, and he brought basically the entire SmackDown roster with him.
Correct, yeah.
So they come walking down to the ring. Shane gets in the ring. The roster surrounds the ringside area. Shane just grabs the mic and just says, "Under siege."
Yeah.
And then directs the SmackDown roster to head backstage.
Yeah.
And they start laying a beat down on everybody they come across.
First, they come across Titus Worldwide, Titus and Apollo Crews, and the New Day are in the front, and they initially give their greetings, "Hey, Titus Worldwide," and then they destroy
them.
That was awesome.
Baron Corbin bullies a stagehand. "Who are you?
Hey, who are you?
You're not me."
We all knew what he meant. He meant, "You're not me."
Yeah.
Hey.
Then we had a couple of massive brawls in two of the Raw locker rooms, which saw Chad Gable.
He made a beeline for his old
straight
partner.
For Jason Jordan.
He went right
went
to
after
him. And I love that direction, too, because, you know, they told him, "Hey, you go after you," so everybody knows all bets are off.
Finn was in that locker room, too, again. Still had his wrestling shorts on, T-shirt, no boots. So you saw his knee-high white Nike socks.
Yeah.
And then went to another locker room where Carl Anderson and Elias were there.
Mm-hmm.
AJ went after Elias, not Carl Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
It was interesting. It's always interesting, these little details.
Little tiny stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
They make it out to a corridor where Sasha,
Everybody
Bailey,
but Alexa.
Yeah.
It was Sasha, Bailey, Alicia,
and Mickey James.
Yeah.
Confronted Team SmackDown. Becky, Carmella, and Natalya came to the fore. Becky was itching for a fight.
Becky seemed like she is legitimately a terrifying person when she's not on your side.
Yeah.
Because she really was. She wanted to throw down with most of the guys.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell.
So they go at it. Team SmackDown gets the upper hand there. They keep wandering through the arena. Rollins and Ambrose tries to ambush them. They get
beat
up,
too. That was hilarious. They came, like, they were lurking in the shadows.
I know, like, from the rafters.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, like, Seth Rollins comes out of nowhere. It was great.
After they get beat up, Rusev and Corbin drag Kurt Angle in there to witness the carnage. And then they pretty much drag him back into the arena.
Kurt Angle's selling it great.
I know. Oh, Kurt Angle's acting this whole bit was
fantastic. Yeah, it was great.
Back into the arena. Shane's still standing in the ring. He doesn't say a word. He just does this. Waves into the ring.
Yeah.
They bring Kurt into the ring. Kurt and Shane are face-to-face. Shane says to Kurt, "Bring your gold medal.
Yeah.
What's left of the Raw roster, and let's finish this at Survivor Series."
Yeah.
And then he tells Team SmackDown, "Let's get out of here."
Yeah.
And they leave again through the crowd.
Move it out.
Some other fun details. Nakamura seemed like he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode didn't seem like he really was all in on it.
Bobby was laughing a lot, but he wasn't doing anything. He just kept going, "Ha ha!
Well,
yeah!"
At one point, he was laying some kicks on.
All right.
Another time, he was like trying to corral people. I noticed that. I think
people.
Nakamura got like two kicks on somebody.
Yeah.
No, he kicked someone over in the locker room.
Oh, okay.
He did that.
All right.
But, like, the New Day were into it.
Rusev
was super into it.
He was really into it.
Corbin was really into it.
They were really into it.
It was fun.
It was so
much
fun. AJ
was really into it, too.
AJ was really into it. Yeah, he had evil face on. No, this was a lot of fun. It's just you have to explain.
So what? Yeah, you would have a conversation about it.
On SmackDown tonight, are we going to see a continuation of Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler? Or are they all just going to be 2 hours of them sitting around talking about their plans? Because they can't pick up this thread of, "Oh, for this month, we're all going to be on the same team."
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do for 2 hours? You can't do anything.
See, if Owens weren't off TV, I would say that would be the focus of the show, is the Owens-Zayn and how that storyline, how it relates to Shane, especially what he wants to do at Survivor Series.
Yeah, that could be something.
That could be definitely the A story, but you know, without knowing when Owens is going
to
be back.
Yeah. It's easy. They can just say, you know, When they're in Survivor Series mode, they're all Team Blue. But from now, the competition is going to be as simple as that.
Yeah.
And then maybe some people are going to be, there'll be storylines set up where some people are going to be vying to be on the SmackDown men's team. They haven't named the team, so all those spots are theoretically still open. They could make that part of the story.
Yeah.
The same with the women, for that matter.
Opportunity.
Although, yeah, I mean, there's, what, six other women that aren't Natalya?
Yeah,
so, and there's only five spots. Or four spots, whatever it is.
How about this for teams so far? Finn, Joe, Bray, and Kurt Angle. Need one more for Raw. AJ.
Roman. It's going to be Roman.
Yeah, probably. AJ, Shinsuke, Big E, Orton, and Shane.
I wonder if they're going to hold off on Cena until they know if Roman's going to be back, because that's kind of a
yeah.
flip flop right there.
Yeah.
If Roman can't be back, they could toss Cena into the.
You know what they should do instead of having Cena be the guest ref for Jinder and Brock? Have him be guest ref for this. He is above brand.
He's the only above brand guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That could be interesting.
I like that. Let's answer some questions.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun month, though. This is when things are best, because right after this.
Hold on. You said there was something on SmackDown, some match recently that I was critical of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it didn't really matter. I was going to bring this up. Because you're okay with all this, shouldn't you be okay with Triple H versus Sting at WrestleMania 31? Where my point was, it's totally normal for the NWO to come help Sting and fight off DX because brand is everything. If you're okay with this, you have to be okay with that.
I don't have to be.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't, because
NWO... Oh, okay, well, then you're a hypocrite.
NWO wasn't... They weren't aligned with WCW. They wanted to be their own thing. They wanted to destroy WCW.
They wanted to take it over. But in reality, they were all fighting for their jobs against the bigger brand.
Well, then you're just confusing reality with kayfabe. It's just confusing at that point.
Well, that's what's happening. That's what you have to do with this. You have to reconcile kayfabe and reality with this and that. It's the same thing.
It's not quite the same thing.
It's the exact same
thing. Let's answer some questions.
All right.
Manuel Garcia.
Way to dodge the question.
Hello, friendos. Who should invade SmackDown from Raw team tomorrow night?
Shield?
Yeah, Shield. Finn Balor.
Would Miz get on it? Yeah, Miz would get
Samoa
on it.
Samoa Joe should 100% be there. Samoa Joe.
No.
You don't think Samoa Joe?
Hold off on Samoa Joe until...
I kind of feel like it'd be cool if it was just Samoa Joe. This week, just Samoa Joe.
That would be rad.
Nobody else.
No,
like, everybody else is
I
still
agree.
Kind of, you know,
and it'd be one of those things they've done before where is he? He's in the building somewhere.
Like, don't even, like, just have people be laid out, and you don't find out who it is till the end of the show, and it's Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Or, like, somebody midway through the show, like, they come to, and they're like, it's Joe. And then people freak out. Oh, my God, now we have to be scared because he's somewhere in the building.
Yep.
There's a Joe in
they
the
They get, like, a horror movie.
Yeah.
Just Joe tonight. JT, hey, friendos, are we going to get Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon? At Survivor Series, we would rather it to be Daniel Bryan, but that's not happening in WWE.
I love Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon. It's one of the few times I would actually say I want that Shane McMahon match.
There's history. The Wicker Man TGX. What are Jinder Mahal's chances at Survivor Series? Also, is there a number lower than Absolute Zero?
Is there a number lower than Absolute Zero?
I don't think so. That's why it's Absolute Zero.
No, it's Absolute Zero. Negative numbers are like an abstract, right?
You can't count.
You can't have negative ones.
I can't take that pile of coins and count negative numbers if
right,
I take
exactly,
them off the table. Yeah,
exactly. They're not real things.
No. So it's, I don't know. I'll say Jinder has a 5% chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably as high as going to get. King of Hostile, Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. Hey, friend, knows New Japan invades both Raw and SmackDown next week. It's just Survivor Series. It'll be Team WWE versus Team New Japan. Who's on each team and who goes over?
So Okada, Omega,
Tanahashi, Naito.
Tanahashi, Naito. Suzuki.
Yeah, that's good. Suzuki. And then it'll be Styles, Balor, Braun.
Brock,
Roman, or Cena.
Oh, Cena, yeah. Yeah, you got all the matchups there. That's good. I like that.
Because then you have the Shield do something else.
No Shinsuke.
And that was tough.
But
you got to have AJ and Finn in there.
Yeah,
you got to have all three leaders of the Bullet Club in there.
Yeah, you have to have some, like, WWE guys.
Yeah.
Like, Shinsuke just came over from New Japan, so you can't really do that.
You got to have Cena in there.
Yeah.
Roland Reese, first-time question asker. Thank you very much.
Ooh, what about Cody?
That'd be cool.
Take Minoru. Take Suzuki.
Yeah, put Cody in there. That's good. Have Adam Cole be on Team WWE, too, while you're at it. First question asked here. Do you think the age of...
I just don't know.
Well, no. Adam Cole has like a three full.
No, I know.
Do you think the age of supernatural characters is over? Have Bone Soldier involved, too. My heart tells me... Yeah. My heart tells me that Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper or Finn Balor could be the next Undertaker and Kane. But do you think the age of supernatural characters is over? It is over if they're going to keep presenting them like they did the Sister Abigail Pumpkin Balor thing, where it's just cheesy.
I don't think it's ever going to be completely over.
No, it's not going to be.
They have cool ideas for...
It's just the execution that's locking it tight.
Yeah.
The Lunatic Baby!
Baby!
In case the Lesnar and Balor match doesn't happen at Rumble, how would you feel if Balor did what Mick Foley did and enter as different versions of himself? So he comes out first as Demon Balor.
Well, I like him coming out in order of power-ranked Balor.
I know, but they can't do that because it takes hours to do that makeup.
Ooh, good point.
So he has to come out first as Demon Balor.
Right.
Or at least as Pumpkin Balor.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be Pumpkin Balor.
Yeah.
We can't do regular Demon Balor because
right,
it's going to take his time.
Yeah, too much
so it'll be Pumpkin Balor.
Well, eliminated. No, you know you do. You do this. Pumpkin Balor, he goes back. They slap some red paint on whatever's left.
But then you're having two variations of Demon Balor being eliminated. Isn't that supposed to be a stronger, at least according to WWE 2K18, that's a stronger version. It's Demon Balor over Man Balor.
All right.
We agree that Grey Balor is top Balor.
Grey Balor is top Balor. He should win. He should win the Royal Rumble.
And face Lesnar at WrestleMania, not Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Tommy T, hey friendos, my question is about Dave Meltzer. Personally, Tommy T loves The Observer and how much knowledge he has, but my question is, do you guys think he has a bias against WWE because while I love New Japan and get why they get such high ratings and praise, he does seem to have a slight bias?
I mean, yeah, you can call it a bias, but that's just one man's opinion, you know? It's like, yeah. I have my biases, you have your biases. I'm not a big fan. A lot of people swear by Lucha Underground. I watched one episode, wasn't really into it. You know, everybody has biases, everybody has opinions.
Yeah, everybody has things they like and don't like.
You know, it's not a bad thing. I think the guy totally appreciates what they do in New Japan.
Well, it's not just New Japan. I think he prefers the Japanese style of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of in total. He likes, you know, because he's a big fan of Misawa, who wrestled in All Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just likes their approach to wrestling and storytelling better than WWE.
But then he's also a big Lucha fan. He's like a big fan of... So I think he just likes a wide variety of styles, and, you know, WWE is one of them, is one of many. I think that his central point is WWE may be the biggest company, but just because of the biggest company doesn't mean that there aren't tons of other companies putting on amazing matches all over the world every single weekend.
Yeah.
And you need to have some, you know, some perspective with that. So that's my
And also, it's okay to disagree with him.
Yeah, I know. It's just one guy's opinion.
Yeah, it's just one man's opinion.
He is one of the greatest living wrestling historians like that we have, and I appreciate him on that level.
Yeah, and anybody can appreciate him on that level and not necessarily have to agree with his ratings.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. This is why I always go back to, because a lot of people I've heard criticize, oh, why doesn't Dave Meltzer get the scoop on this? Why didn't he know this? I'm like, look, scoops are nothing but just having people on the inside of the company.
Willing to talk to you.
And scoops are completely and totally based off what Vince McMahon wants to do on any given day, which can change on any given day. So it's like, you know, we can report on Going In Raw daily, and we always do it with a, you know, a grain of salt, with a wink and a nudge, because we say, you know, well, this is what the plan, you know, if there's a story, this is plans for Paige coming on SmackDown Live. Well, if tomorrow Vince McMahon decides, oh, I'd rather have her on Raw because of this, then that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then our reporting will have been complete bunk, even though that might have been the case when we reported on it.
Yep.
You know? So, I don't know. Scoops are overrated, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Give me history.
History, yes.
Yeah.
History provides context.
Mm-hmm. Next.
I think it's all of my likes, so
okay.
You're on your own now.
Well, let's see here. What's better? This is from Knack. Elias's jab at Aaron Rodgers, or The Rock's when the Lakers beat the Kings in May during his concert in SAC? I'm going to say The Rock's because everybody loved him in that arena, and then as soon as he said that...
You know what I noticed last night is when Elias made that jab? I feel like the entire arena went silent. Because they were chanting, Go Pack Go, and then he said that, and then everybody just got quiet. Maybe it's because there was, you know, a good chunk of the Packers team sitting ringside or what. But that seemed like the arena just went quiet.
I like this this back and forth here on our Patreon question thread. CM Punk finds it insulting, said, did the entire SmackDown roster just turn heel last night? It's funny because I think they're heel to Raw,
yeah,
where they'll be face on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed said, everybody but Nakamura, he was just milling about the whole time.
Ben Kirkwood, power rank. Who will take
bah, bah,
the Intercontinental title off The Miz?
Nobody at this point.
Should be Finn Balor.
I'm going to say there's no obvious person. Finn's going to be vying for the Universal title.
Yeah, but after Brock.
Before he does that?
Yeah, I know.
That's a ways off.
Mania next year. They have they started laying the groundwork earlier this year for that feud, right after he came back. Finn, that is.
I get the feeling they wanted it to be Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
But that just didn't happen. Is it beneath Braun at this point to have the Intercontinental Championship? Kind of, he doesn't need it.
Doesn't make sense.
I'm going to say this. You say who? You say Finn?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. But I want to say Joe, even though they're both heels.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
Joe can out-heel anybody, though.
That's true. This is a good question. Again, I love these questions where the logic of what happened is called into question. Brennan Hardy, why didn't we see the SmackDown roster try to take down Brock? Brock probably left.
Yeah, he probably like for real, not kayfabe, left.
Yeah.
And
on top of that,
done, gone.
On top of that, they wouldn't want any piece of that. And number two or number three, Paul Heyman said it best: Brock Lesnar doesn't care about brand.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's not fighting for the honor of SmackDown.
Yeah.
He fights for the honor of getting paid money.
Yes. KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed. Hey, friendos, with Gallows, Anderson, and Finn all at the receiving end of that beating, could they use the Survivor Series / Invasion as a catalyst for a unified club, even if temporary?
I think that's a possibility.
What if
I
they
think
do Finn and Gallows and Anderson against AJ and Nakamura and who?
I mean, that's pretty much it. That's all you can really do.
Is there Adam Cole.
Adam, you love bringing Adam Cole into it.
Baby.
Robert Haynes, do you think WWE would have been any different if Kurt Angle never had addiction issues and never left? Do you think he would have retired earlier because of injury? Because he hasn't hurt his neck since he left. I mean, obviously, you know, things would have been different. He was kind of at his peak, you know. I mean, he'd been there for 8 years, I think. No, 6 years.
6 or 7 years.
Six years.
Because he left in 2006, right?
Mm-hmm.
He debuted in 99 or 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 or 7 years.
I mean, yeah, things would have been different.
I don't think they have been drastically different. I think you still would have seen Cena rise to the top as top guy in the company. I don't think that would have changed.
Yeah. Just be interesting to know how long he would have gone. I'm trying to think if there's any parallels there. I mean, is Chris Jericho a decent parallel that you could think of?
He might have followed that pattern where he wrestled full-time for another 4 or 5, 6 years and became more of a part-time performer.
Yeah, I could see that, you know.
Especially if injury is really starting him out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do one more and then do Kayfabe Corner.
Very well. Oh, perfect question. Discord Club official timekeeper primetime Henry Harris. If it's Shane versus Kurt, what are the chances of Shane going through glass again?
Oh. That would be cool, but they haven't done they only do custom sets for WrestleMania now.
It's Shane.
I know. I'm saying they should.
Yeah.
If we turn on Survivor Series and there's a custom set and there's any glass anywhere, you know that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would. I'd see that happening. Oh, wow. All right, are you ready for Kayfabe Corner?
Sure.
What is Kayfabe Corner?
It's the greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge there is.
That's correct. 12 names, some real, some fake.
Two trivia questions.
This week I put it to our $10 patrons and up. Which wrestler would you like to see featured as the basis for the names I generated? or found to be real? Jinder Mahal or Brock Lesnar?
Who won?
Barely. Jinder Mahal.
Oh, cool.
It was actually tied for a spell. Our good friend Eric, the base hit King Blaha.
Broke the tie, huh?
No, he didn't. Like, somebody eventually came in and gave their actual answer and tilted it to Jinder. But in the meantime, Eric Blaha said, the guy that looks like he's on steroids. It's not an answer because they both look like they're on steroids. So, Eric, base hit King, your response is obsolete. Here we go. Number one.
One.
Larry Chalky.
Fake.
Very good. Pepe Papadon.
Real.
Fake. Mitch Baxter.
Real.
Yeah. Mr. Ferrari.
Fake.
Real. Bucks Gresham.
Ooh, that's a good name.
I know, right?
Fake.
Yeah, it's fake. Flip Donst.
Real.
Fake. Fire Ant.
Real.
Real. Bandito 3.
Ooh. Fake.
Yeah. Soldier Ant.
Real.
Yeah. Oleg the Usurper.
Real?
Yeah.
You would have made that up.
Houston Singh.
Fake.
Yeah. Snake Sandwich.
Snake Sandwich?
Yeah.
Real.
Fake.
Oh.
I wish that was real.
8.
Good job. Number one trivia question.
Okay.
Jinder wrestled at 2 WrestleCade shows in 2015. The first of which was a battle royal. Who won that match? Here's a hint. It wasn't Jinder.
WrestleCage?
WrestleCade.
Oh, WrestleCade. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2015?
Mm-hmm.
Adam Cole.
EC3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number two.
Two.
What name did he use on the indie circuit after his first run with the WWE?
Ooh, shoot. Darn it. I feel like I know this. I don't know, though.
Raj Singh.
Yeah, I knew Singh was the last name. Yeah. I would not have got the first name, though.
So, well done. 8. 8's good. I think you did better than you did last time. All right. Anyways, that's it. That's it. That's our show. That's it. That's all we're doing today. Anyways, patrons, be sure to stay tuned. We're going to do a post-show. The rest of you, thanks for tuning in. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.